Good morning, ladies. Thank you for that beautiful singing about our wonderful Savior. If you would like, you can turn to our core passage, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, or you could probably recite it in your head while I read it. I'm not going to try to recite it because you're all looking at me. Couldn't do it. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, nor malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may instruct the young women in sensibility, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be slandered. So our topic today is workers at home, and there's so much to say about those three little words. So I just thought I would start by listing some things that might be part of our work at home, just to get our minds warmed up about it. If you think of something else, you can shout it out at the end. This is not a comprehensive list, and it won't apply to everybody, but we get the idea. Okay, working at home could involve planning, shopping for, and preparing meals, maintaining the family schedule, schooling responsibilities for children, keeping the house clean and organized, financial tasks such as bill paying and tax filing, home, yard, and car maintenance. How about gardening and harvesting and preserving that harvest? Animal care. I thought about listing all the animals that are represented in our congregation. There's quite a list, but I won't do it. Anything else to come to mind? You want to shout out? Well, these kinds of things, where are they in the scheme of our life? How important are they? Well, I look back at some of Pastor Jesse's sermons on the roles of women, and I just pulled phrases that he said. Here are some of those descriptive phrases. He says, a woman's home is to be her top priority. It is in the home where she will have maximum influence. And I just thought, you know, that influence occurs over many, many, many tiny faithfulnesses over time. A woman attends to her home. She invests in her home. Her home is a place of rest, not of chaos and disorder. And then, our culture wouldn't believe this, but a woman thrives in her home. Lisa Hughes, in her book, God's Priorities for Today's Women, said, within the space of three verses, Titus chapter 2 provides a succinct definition of a woman's role and calling. The passage reveals God's priorities for women and the high standard of godly character all women are to embody at every age and in every situation. This information is narrowed down to the essentials and allows us to zero in on exactly what God desires for us as women. Martha Peace says in her book, Becoming a Titus II Woman, she says, our Lord focused his entire life on fulfilling God's will. And in a similar fashion, a wife is to focus her life on the home. God has designed the family to be her sphere of responsibility. That does not mean she should spend 24 hours a day inside her house, however. The woman in Proverbs 31 left her home when she needed to buy food or when she needed supplies. Yet, even those trips benefited her family. She poured her life into her family. So now we acknowledge that we don't live in the little house on the prairie days, you know, where Ma rarely left her home or the homestead. But we may leave our home physically, but we can even leave it now through online shopping and researching. However we go about our home, it is to benefit the family. Of course, providing for our needs also, because the Proverbs 31, after all, was dressed in scarlet. So we do take care of our needs, but mostly we're spending our time taking care of our family's needs. Again, Lisa Hughes says, there's no disputing the fact that God desires you to make your home and your family a priority, and that can only happen when you are at home. Yet how much you need to be at home in order to fill your God-given priorities depends on you, what season of life you're in, the size of your family, the ages and needs of your children and your husband's needs. What you can know with certainty is that you are to work at caring for the multitude of things related to your home and family. Well, before we get into the scriptures about work, I just have five preliminary things I want us to have on our mind. The home tasks that we accomplish have a context, and I just can't mention that context in every sentence that I say. So let's just keep these in mind, and they'll give us a balance to the topic. The first one is, the context of our work is love for our husband and children. Our work serves them. We are not to walk all over them, so to speak, to mop the floor. You know, we keep the love and care of our people in mind as we go about our housework, which is also part of our love and care for them. Perhaps there's a box we could check. I am not a robot. I'm just going to steamroll over you. We are sensitive to the people as we work, of course. Women have the same commands regarding homekeeping. However, due to a myriad of personal styles, preferences, health, circumstances, each wife will employ varying methods to accomplish her tasks. And we see that and we accept that. Number three, part of being human includes the fact that we all have strengths and weaknesses. Some parts of life will come easier for us. And even in personally stronger categories, there is room for growth and increasing excellence as we gain knowledge and experience. Some parts of our life will be harder to us and not come to us so naturally. But we can find a reasonable, God-honoring path by knowing Scripture and putting it into practice, and also by observing others who are strong in that area and asking questions. Fourth one is, as we walk faithfully in our God-given responsibilities, we will develop a level of patience for our tasks. I want to say this especially to those of you who are newer to homemaking. It's rather like developing our children's attention span for reading and listening. We start with short books, and then we increase the length over time. We keep reading to them. We keep training them to listen, and they get better and better. Likewise, in our work, we get accustomed to it, and we are able to handle it better and even to handle an increase in work. That happens over time by faithful diligence in our work. The last one I want to say is, some women get to keep their home the way they want to. Perhaps they are very orderly and regularly, and that works in their circumstances. Perhaps they prefer to take care of tasks as needed, without a predictable schedule. In some cases and in some seasons, a woman may have to find a different way to get things done. Perhaps her husband has a different style of living. One day around these tables, one lady said that she had to give up her way of doing things for the sake of her husband. I was like, wow, my respect for her just went up two notches. Some husbands are more spontaneous in how they approach life, and some are more particular and like things a certain way. And some husbands are both. So wives are the ones that need to adjust. Responsibilities and priorities with the children also may require different methods for a season. Admittedly, our tightest two responsibilities and themes pull at one another at times. But the all-wise God is the author of Titus chapter 2, and it is possible to care for all aspects of our homes. It will require humility and flexibility, loving service, and diligence. All right, we're going to start by looking at work in general from the book of Proverbs. And these points come from a couple of lessons that Pastor Mike taught on Wednesday night class in January of 2025. His title was A Theology of Work and Rest. So we're going to look at some of those points. The first one is that work is one of man's fundamental purposes. Genesis 1:26 already talks about work. And I'm just not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to take note of the action words. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, so that they will have dominion over the fish and the seas and the cattle and the birds. They are to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And then he talks about how he gave every plant yielding seed and every tree for fruit, which implies planting and harvesting? Well, God's instruction to Adam and Eve came before they sinned, as recorded in chapter 3. Even though the world was perfect, there was still work to do. They were to manage the animals, grow their family, learn about the world, and put what they discover to good use, and also plant and harvest their food. Certainly after they sinned, their work became more difficult. But when the curse of sin is removed, work will be unhampered by sin, and it will still be part of God's kingdom on this earth. Revelation 22:3 implies this. And there will be no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his slaves will serve him. So we will still be working. Well, we are to work for God and his rewards. Colossians 3:23, you all know it. Whatever you do, and I say if that's chopping onions or mopping the floor or whatever, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Serve the Lord Christ. When our work is done as for the Lord, even the most menial tasks are transformed, and there is dignity in all our work. Work that seemingly goes unnoticed by our people, because it often does, is always in the view of God. Even Job, in his terrible situation, says, "He knows the way I take." Well, we are also to work for temporal rewards, believe it or not, or temporal satisfaction. Pastor Gill taught us through the book of Ecclesiastes in 2019, and he said that while we don't live for pleasure, there should be pleasure in our living. Ecclesiastes 5:18 says, "Here is what I've seen that is good, which is beautiful, to eat, to drink, and to see good in all one's labor in which he labors under the sun during the few days of his life which God has given him, for this is his portion." There is a pleasant satisfaction in a job completed and in a job well done. Even in this imperfect world, God intends for us to enjoy this goodness that stems from our God-ordained tasks. Proverbs 13:14 says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is enriched." Proverbs 12:11, "He who cultivates his land will be satisfied with bread." Okay, we are also to work with excellence, God says. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no working or explaining or knowledge in wisdom and Sheol where you are going." Gil said, "This is the time that God has planned for me in this life. When my body is in the grave, my physical life, with all its opportunities under the sun, is over." As you know, our sovereign God sees to everything. In his love and mercy and grace, he has provided a savior for sinners. And those who have turned to him and received that salvation by faith in Christ, we know that God has a plan for each of us as we sojourn in this present time. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 speaks of that salvation being a gift from God. And then verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." So we can say with confidence that one area of our good works that we share as women in this life is to be workers at home. Well, we are to work with intentionality, and that has two parts, in planning and prioritizing. So let's talk about planning first. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The thoughts or plans of the diligent lead surely to profit, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty." Proverbs 14:23, "In all painful labor there is profit, but mere words from the lips lead only to want." One commentator said, "All hard work guarantees to bring forth a reward, but the lazy person who just talks about his great ideas is only led into abject poverty." So what can we take from that? If I find myself continually talking about an undone task, well, then perhaps it's time to make a plan. Even if the plan is to do the work a few days from now, or even a few months from now, Just as important as that plan, then, is the strong resolve to follow through. If I don't have some sort of plan to accomplish the work in my home, it will be easy to do nothing, or haphazardly, or to be busy with activities that do not address my tasks. There is rarely a quick fix with our work at home, but with forethought, we can attack our chores to the best efficiency. Okay, prioritizing is also important. Proverbs 24:27. Establish your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field, and afterwards you shall build your house. This is just talking about, I'll say gardening as an example. For instance, we cannot put off very long our garden work in the summer. We must plant soon after the frost date so that we have a long enough season to realize the harvest. And we must water and weed the garden or it will suffer. And if it's quite neglected, it won't yield any usable produce. We can tackle the overstuffed closet, for instance, when more urgent, perhaps time-sensitive matters are met. And I know that on any particular day, the overstuffed closet might be the urgent task. I thought of one more time-sensitive thing. You know, we agree to doctor appointments, dentist appointments, music lessons for the children, perhaps sports things that involves a schedule. You know, we agree to that. So that becomes, that's time sensitive. We have to be at these things at a certain time. So, you know, I should not be in my closet organizing it when I should have been 5 minutes down the road to get to piano lessons or whatever. That sort of thing. We want our yes to be yes. If we've agreed to these things, you know, we want to be faithful in showing up at the right time. So we prioritize our work. What the people do on the other end, we just treat with forbearance and, you know, because they don't always hold up their end of the deal, but that's another whole thing. Okay, we are to work with integrity. We must decide how best to use our time to accomplish our work. We are the manager of our home. Under our husbands, it's rather like we're self-employed. We are self-directed much of the time. So how are we using our time in light of our tasks? Proverbs 6:6-8 says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provisions in the harvest." Pastor Mike said, "One's true character is revealed most clearly when he is alone and without the accountability of an earthly officer or ruler keeping watch." Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, "Through indolence the beams sag, and through slack hands the house leaks." You know, if I am not getting the work of my home accomplished, which is basically resetting it all the time, you know, I could ask myself a few questions. Am I actually working? Would God agree with my assessment? Think of some verses that would shed light on your particular situation. And talk to the Lord about it. We have that children's song. It says, talk to the Lord anytime, anywhere. It's true. He's always ready to hear our prayer. It's good to talk to the Lord about our work. Sometimes if we're not maybe doing all that we should be, we kind of hide from God. But, you know, we can't really hide from God. He already knows. So we might as well talk to him about it. I've been really appreciating Psalm 145 in my life recently. It says, in verse 18, it says, "Yahweh is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will work out the desire of those who fear him. He will hear their cry for help, and he will save them." Of course, that's true for big things, but it's true for the small. So often God sanctifies us in the tiny areas of our life. He'll be glad to hear about your work and provide you with help. Well, if I am working, is there a better way to go about it? Is there a way that would be more productive? Do I need to simplify my home in some way for this season? If there's children in the home, can the children take on some of the tasks? And husbands are often very helpful in offering fresh insight from their objective eye. And of course, we, the women of the church, we have each other. We are God-given resource to one another, so be willing to ask, be willing to share and observe. We are to work with selflessness. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8 talks about the slave and master relationship. So I know we're not slaves in the physical way. That's not how our country is set up. But it does come out about how we are slaves of Christ. So it says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the integrity of your heart, as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, serving with goodwill as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. So we live to do the will of God. And this is going to involve setting ourselves aside at times. And of course, Christ is our example. We referred to this verse before, but John 4:34 says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. We function in the same way. So then, after all that hard work is done, the best rest comes. Wisely approaching the work of our home will provide the best rest when the work of the day is done. Proverbs 3:21 says, my son, let not them deviate from your eyes. Guard sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life for your soul and grace for your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be in dread, and you will lie down, and your sleep will be pleasant. And who doesn't want that? So, all right, well, we're going to dial in a little bit now into the Proverbs 31 woman to look at some specific things from a woman's life. We know that the Proverbs 31 woman's entire life was centered on her home and the people who dwelt there. She was the keeper of her home. Our culture does not understand or put value on homekeeping as a woman's priority. But God says in Proverbs 31:10 that a woman who does that, such a woman, makes an excellent and therefore valuable wife. An excellent wife who can find her worth is far above pearls. So what about this lady qualifies her for the description of excellent? And I think it's just neat. This is just an aside. Every single one of us can be an excellent Proverbs 31 woman. There's just not one woman in the world who reaches that status. You know, each home can have their excellent woman, which is great. Okay, well, one of the qualities of this woman is that the keeper of the home loves her husband. Proverbs 31, 11 and 12 says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She deals bountifully with him for good and not evil all the days of her life. An author I read recently had an interesting perspective on this. It reminds me how God gives a man his wife so that he has a suitable helper. That's a Genesis 1 thing. His wife is to help him accomplish his work. So here's what the author said. It's a couple of paragraphs, but I think it'll be helpful. Consider a truly hardworking, high-achieving husband who loves his family and wants to care for them. Take that same man and give him a capable, competent, and joyful wife. When he comes home and she has made dinner and the family gathers around the table, what exactly is happening? He is able, through her faithful work, to express his physical love and care for the family. His labor now tastes like something and looks like something. It can be enjoyed in a way that just a paycheck never could. His work has taken on a personality. A wife glorifies her husband's work by turning it into real things that can be felt and seen and tasted. He gets to enjoy the tangible expression of his love for her and the children, and her love in response. She takes his work at the office and turns it into the blessing of clean socks, cozy beds, and filling meals. When a husband and wife are in harmony, working hard in their own fields and enjoying the fruit of each other's work, the result is a powerful home, full of love and tangible joy. This is a home that will taste good and look good and feel like a safe and joyful place to be. And this is simply not the kind of thing that happens without a woman who throws herself into the many different tasks and skills and plain elbow grease that make up a home. I just love that. I read it to my husband and we enjoyed that. It's neat. Okay, well, in addition to loving your husband, the keeper of the home has a good attitude about her work. Proverbs 31:13 says, "She searches for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight." Sometimes I might not think that my work and delight can coexist. But do you think it's God's intention for us to be grumpy and a reluctant keeper of our home? He gave us our home. He will surely help us have a good attitude as we do our work ultimately for Him. Colossians 3:23 again, "Do your work heartily, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Serve the Lord Christ." We just have faith that His rewards are good. The keeper of the home is enterprising. Proverbs 31:16, "She makes plans for a field and buys it. From the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard." This lady looks for work that will benefit her family. This is beyond the primary tasks that she attends to in her home. For instance, and I'm going to talk about gardening again, it takes work to develop a garden space and put that garden in and tend it. But there are many good outcomes of a garden. Fresh, delicious, healthy food, of course, and also teaching the children about growing food and getting accustomed and patient to productive work. The keeper of the home is not afraid of work when the family benefits. The keeper of the home also feeds her family. Proverbs 31:14, "She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar." Of course, today that probably means Costco or Aldi, maybe an apple orchard in the area. Well, this lady thinks about what food she would like to serve her family and what would benefit her family. There are so many dynamics that might need to be dealt with. This lady thinks about what food she makes the effort to get that food. And some people like to cook, some women not so much. Schedules can make meal prep challenging, but making the effort to do menu and grocery list planning and shopping will go a long way to have what you need for those meals in real time. You're not always playing catch up because you've planned for those meals. The keeper of the home is diligent, which we've mentioned that before, but Proverbs 31:15 says, "And she rises while it is still night and gives food to her household and a portion to her young women." And then Proverbs 10:4-5 says, "Poor is he who works with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts insightfully, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully." The idea of this is that the keeper of the home is willing to get up and moving because she sees her work as important. In the Old Testament times this Proverbs was written, women had servants in their homes. They just had to because of how life was then. But today we have appliances that help us. If there's children in the home, they can help us. And the wise woman uses those appliances and then maybe teaches the children to use them. Assigns them chores and tasks to help with the workload, which is good for the home and the family. It also teaches those kids valuable life lessons to prepare them for their adulthood. But mom leads the charge. Back to one of our integrity points, setting a plan also fosters diligence. Just like a teacher makes lesson plans for the day, the homekeeper could also make daily plans for her tasks. When life is fairly simple, lists may not be necessary. When our kids were little, like preschool age, I don't remember writing down a day plan because life was simple. We just had to function around mealtime and nap time. We were basically home. It wasn't hard to keep track of everything. However, as time goes on, life gets more complicated. There's many more irons in the fire, so to speak. So that's when it's helpful, perhaps, to write down your work down on a schedule for that day or for that week, the month. You know, at this point in my life, I have a daily plan and a weekly plan that I can see at a glance. I find it very helpful to move quickly from one thing to another without taking the time to remember and rethink it all. It works for me, but maybe it'll work for you. The keeper of the home works hard. Proverbs 31:17 says, "She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night." Lisa Hughes says, "After she sets goals and deadlines for herself, she pushes herself to meet and accomplish them. Her attitude is to use each available moment for good." One commentator said, "A woman like this is disciplined, but not driven." You know, if you're driven, you might steamroll over your family as you're getting everything done. But we're disciplined, and we work to get our work done. The keeper of the home tackles the hard stuff. Proverbs 31:19 talks about weaving cloth. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold fast the spindle. You know, back in this day, they had to make their own cloth. That's for everybody in their household. That was a lot of people. It was a constant need. It was a tedious task. So we don't have to do that unless you want to. But we have tasks that we don't like. We have our own tedious tasks. And we may be tempted to procrastinate regarding such work. But our Proverbs 31 woman gets after it. One strategy is to do the worst job first, if you can, or set a time for it. That can help get it off your mind. I find myself dragging my feet with tasks I don't care for or for tasks that are new to me or are unfamiliar. So I just usually try to estimate how long the task will take and just tell myself not to be so dramatic, you know. How many times do I say, "You're not going to die," you know. If I just go do it, it'll be off my mind and that'll be a gift. So bless your family even by attending to those kind of tasks. As a summary, the keeper of the home continues to pursue those little faithfulnesses every day over time. And that's faithfulness to God in the role that he gave us. I'm not very familiar with this, but think of the flashiest social media person you can think of. The one that's just all about her presentation, how she looks, the life that she projects, she's perfect. And then compare that to really any one of you in the room. You know, what is the image that has lasting value? That projected one or this real one? Proverbs 31:29 says, "Many daughters have done excellently, but you have gone above them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears Yahweh, she will be praised. Give to her from the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates." The Lord gave each one of us our home. He has set each one of us over that home and to take care of that home. So may we do it according to his word and in his strength, of course, with joyful enthusiasm to his glory. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the many benefits that you have given to us. First of all, just according to your own good pleasure, you have worked out salvation for those who believe in you. Thank you for sending your son to die and to suffer that death that we need for the forgiveness of our sins. For those of us who have accepted that gift, thank you so much for the good plan that you set forth for us generally in Scripture and also even specifically for us as women. I pray that we would embrace it and seek to honor you as we love our family in so many different ways. Strengthen these ladies and give them joy in it. In Jesus' name, amen.